Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call on this 30th of April 2011. I'm your host, Real Quinn, taking you for the next hour as we discuss the world of sports. 347-215-6180 is your call number. You can also hit me up at Blog Talk, or excuse me, at facebook.com/William Gerald. Also at, we have a caller already, but we'll get to you. Stay on the line. We will get to you. You can also hit me up at twitter.com/William Gerald. And we're going to begin with the end of an era. Last night, the San Antonio Spurs went down to the Memphis Grizzlies, 99-91, in a series that, if you didn't know, if you didn't know the seeds, you'd have thought that San Antonio was the number 8 seed and Memphis was the number 1 seed. Memphis completely dominated this series. They outplayed San Antonio basically from start to finish. They set the tone in game 1. Zach Randolph was by far and away the best player on the court, and he finished off San Antonio in style. 31 points, hitting shots that just, ridiculous shots. Some of the shots he made last night was just off the charts. But this is more to me about San Antonio. I mean, Memphis, they're going to have their time. They're having their time right now. That'll be a great series against Oklahoma City. The Spurs, you think about the Spurs since the Tim Duncan era, since 1990 when he got drafted in 1998. Spurs have been the most consistent team, not only in the NBA, but maybe in professional sports. Now, the Lakers have won more championships, but remember, the Lakers have also had years since then that they didn't even make the playoffs. But the Spurs either were basically championship or, at worst, conference semifinals up until the past couple of years where they get eliminated in the first round this year, and a couple of years ago they got eliminated in the first round. But they're older now. They're older, and with Duncan, 35 years old, Ginobili, who's played well this season, but he's not a spring chicken. And the air to me, their day is done. Nothing lasts forever, okay? You're talking about going basically 14 years of championship level, over a decade where you win 4 championships. I mean, that's an eternity in sports. So, to me, last night signified the end to that era. But give Memphis all the credit in the world. Memphis played, Memphis tanked games to play San Antonio. There's a reason why they wanted to play San Antonio with their size advantage. And you saw it right then and there throughout the course of the series. Had no answer for Mark Gasol, who's outplayed his brother, by the way. And they had no answer for, of course, Zach Randolph. Mike Conley Jr. earned his contract. He played well. And so forth. We're going to get to this call. Right? We have a caller on the line, so we'll get to you. I don't want to keep you waiting. Yes, caller, what's on your mind?
Oh, I was calling in to support you. This is Know Your Enemy. I had got hit up, and I just want to check in on, the sports and everything, see how everything was going. But I will say, in regards with NBA, I think Lakers are, always number one because so long as they got Phil Jackson as a coach, they've been winning.
Yes. I think the Lakers, if we go on pound for pound Lakers-Spurs, you're taking the Lakers. But my point about the Spurs is just the level of consistency. You're talking, in terms of making the playoffs. There was a time period before, I'll say 2 years ago, where they either were in the NBA Finals, in the Conference Finals, or at worst, they made it to the second round. Remember, Lakers had a year after Shaq left where they didn't make the playoffs the following year. Spurs never had that kind of fall, that kind of dip. But certainly if you're gauging the accomplishments, Lakers versus Spurs, Lakers have more championships. So, yes, you would take the Lakers. But as far as consistency, year in, year out, I think the Spurs have been, in terms of winning 60 games, in terms of out of the four professional sports, the Spurs had, the highest win percentage. Out of any team in the four major sports. Now, you got to eliminate football from that standpoint because it's not many games, but you compare them to hockey and baseball, the Spurs had the best winning percentage. But yeah, I mean, the Lakers have been better because the Lakers have beaten the Spurs in playoff series, you know, on numerous occasions, and they've won more championships. So I mean, I can understand that argument.
Well, I was just wondering because, you know, like I said before, with Phil Jackson, you remember when he was with Chicago, where he had almost like 5 rings, and then he was trying to do the same thing with the Lakers. So I think he builds the team that he wants because he knows where he's going to take them to. Maybe since Shaq had fell off, that might have been like a little weight on them, so that he had to make them, you know, recondition and be able to adapt to their surroundings to get back into the game.
Yeah, I mean, he won 6 rings with Chicago, and it is kind of similar to what he's done. What he's done with the Lakers. A little bit. I mean, the configuration of the team is different because, you know, with the Bulls, it was Michael and Scottie.
Mm-hmm.
He had no low post presence. With the Lakers, he's had either, you know, he's had Kobe throughout this whole entire time, and he's had great. Not good, but great low post players. I mean, Shaquille O'Neal's an all time great. And then
right. You
look at what they have now. Nobody can match what the Lakers have now in the down low and in the post area. When you talk about Gasol, Bynum, and Odom, there's nobody that can match that in
right.
the NBA right now. So he's done it differently, but you know, he's built it with the same principles of he doesn't believe in double teaming. He's running a triangle offense, and he has the ultimate closer, and you know, he had Michael Jordan before, and he has Kobe Bryant now. So, little, you know, there's a lot of similarities, some differences, but you know, you know, a Phil Jackson coach team when you see one. So definitely, there are some similarities with how he built those two particular teams, or how he's coached those two particular teams.
Yeah, I said if anybody want to make a solid bet, you either bet on the Lakers for winning, or you bet on the Redskins for losing.
Well, the Redskins, you know, we'll talk about that more later on the program. The Redskins losing days, they might be over. The Redskins losing days might be over, coming to an end very soon, sooner than you think. Yeah, I think they're doing pretty well in the draft. So, we'll get to that later on in the program. All right, man, thanks for calling me up. You get back to me on later programs.
Okay, and I just want to be able to tune in because, like I said, I was trying to call in to support you.
All right, I appreciate your support, man. You have a good Saturday.
You too.
All right. No, you certainly, listen, you certainly can make the case, I mean, that the Lakers have been, I mean, to me, the Lakers are the marquee franchise in the NBA right now. And, you know, they've been, you know, the Lakers are the Yankees. Sorry, Boston. Lakers are the New York Yankees of the NBA. I mean, they 5 championships in 10 years, they're going for 6 championships in 11 years. I mean, that speaks for itself. But, you know, think about it. Since 1997, the Spurs have not missed the playoffs. And since 1997, the Spurs have, you know, won 4 championships. It just, I guess consistency, I guess you haven't heard any, you know, Lakers have had drama, you know, Kobe and Shaq thing, Kobe. You don't hear that kind of stuff out of the Spurs. Spurs are boring, they're quiet, they just get the job done. And, again, I can't even hate the Spurs. I can't even hate the Spurs, to be honest with you. They don't give you a reason to hate them. I mean, the Heat, I despise the Heat. Of course, I hate the Celtics. You know, I've never liked teams, even like teams like Portland when they had Clyde Drexler and Phoenix, never liked them. But the Spurs are a team that I've always respected, and you can't hate on them. I mean, they got players doing, you know, community service, things like that. How are you mad at players like that? Just getting started here on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake-Up Call. I'm your host, Surreal Quinn. Chat line is up, by the way. Chat line is up, so you can hit me up in between when we go to breaks. So hit me up anytime. I'll try to get to you when we go to our commercial breaks. When we return, we'll have our Saturday Morning headlines, and we'll get into some baseball as we will get into some baseball and some NFL draft as well. So a lot to do on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. We'll be right back. Welcome back to this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Cyril Quinn. 347-215-6180 is your call number. 40 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour, Saturday morning headlines. The 8th U.S. Circuit Court has granted the NFL its stay, that meaning that the lockout is back on, and the stay is not permanent. It's a temporary stay until the judge decides on Monday whether or not it will be a permanent stay. If the judge rules that it is a permanent stay, that means that they're going to have to wait. The lockout will be on at least another 6 to 8 weeks. So this, it was too perfect. It was too perfect when Susan Nelson ruled on the lifting the lockout, players going back to their respective, facilities, working out, slapping hands, smiling. It was just too perfect. You knew this thing was far from over. And now the players are back where they started at on March 11th. That is meaning that they're locked out. And, hopefully, especially from a Redskins perspective, hopefully all these teams got these guys, especially these new players, their playbooks, so they can be somewhat ahead of the curve. But who knows when the next time that players will be allowed in the facilities to work out in their team facilities. This thing is going to drag out. It's going to drag out, and right now it is advantage owners, to say the least. Because if this thing is upheld and stays as status quo, then the owners could the owners could basically say, hey, you either take the deal that we're going to give you, or, let's see how long you can hold out. This was a big time. This was a major move in favor of the owners. No question about it. Without question, it seemed like everything was going to be headed. We were headed again. Football was back. We were, owners. We were headed towards, using the 2010 collective bargaining rules, which would have meant no salary cap. This would have meant, 6 years of service before a guy could be eligible for free agency. So everything seemingly was headed back towards, having a 2011 season without question, and just going through this thing basically again throughout the course of next year, and a decision not being made on an injunction until, 2012 probably. So now the owners have clearly the upper hand, so we'll see what happens with that. NHL action last night. The Capitals get shocked by Steven Stamkos and the Tampa Bay Lightning 4-2. San Jose takes out Detroit in overtime 2-1. So those are, both San Jose and Tampa Bay lead the best of seven conference semifinal series 1-0. Of course, you have that showdown in Philadelphia, which is going to be a great series between the Flyers and Boston. I've been looking forward to that series. That could be like a Stanley Cup type series. Those two teams went at it last year. You remember, now this is, for Boston fans, it is a bitter memory, as the Philadelphia Flyers came back last year from 3-0 to defeat the Bruins last year. So we'll see if Boston can exact some revenge on the Broad Street Bullies. Sidney Crosby says that he will be ready for the start of next season, despite suffering some concussion-like symptoms that set him back and kept him out of the playoffs against Tampa Bay. I'm not so sure. I'm a Pittsburgh Penguins fan. Obviously, I'm a Sidney Crosby fan. And listen, this guy has been out since January. Okay, basically since the. I forgot the name of that showcase game they had on New Year's Day. Well, they played the Capitals this year. I can't think of it for the life of me. But he's basically been out since then with a concussion. And, he missed the last, 48 games in the last 48 games in the season, missed the playoffs. And, again, if you're a Pittsburgh fan like I am, you got to be very nervous about his future in terms of playing hockey. It would not surprise me if he did not start. If he was not starting off the next season, to be honest with you, would not shock me. hopefully he gets back. The sport needs him. I mean, let's be honest. He's the biggest star in the sport. The sport needs him. Pittsburgh played well despite the fact that he and Evan Malkin were out. They lost in the first round, but still played, you know, had 100 points this season and lost a brutal seven-game series to Tampa Bay this past week. So we'll see what happens with Sid the Kid. Coming up, still to come on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake-Up Call, we'll talk NFL draft, winners and losers. Why am I happy as a Redskins fan? We'll talk that. We'll talk about that and much, much more on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake-Up Call. Welcome back to this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake-Up Call, 48 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour, as we discuss the world of sports. NFL draft, of course, day three of the NFL draft, it will conclude today with rounds 4 through 7. And so far, this draft has been just, you know, to say unpredictable would be an understatement. Now, you know, Cam Newton being selected number one was no surprise or shock to anybody. But some of the trades that we've seen, some of the picks that we saw in the first round, just make you scratch your head. And I listen, you know, I'll begin at the top with the Cam Newton pick, and I watched Cam Newton, and like many of you, followed him throughout the course of the season. And I'm not getting into all the off-the-field stuff with his father. That, to me, has no bearing on his performance and what have you. But I'll just read a couple of things that, you know, people said about the pick, and, you know, and kind of just show you why this pick for Carolina, why you can't make this pick for Carolina. Here's Pete Prisco, CBSSports.com. This is a pick that will define the franchise for the next 10 years. It could be feast or famine. Big risk, grade C. Here is SI.com, who does a draft analyst. And I'll just read you the last part of this. He's a project with a huge risk, but great gifts and great potential upside. Yeah, I guess that would be about right. It seems to me, and this was a theme throughout the course of the draft, that you had these teams reaching and convincing themselves that, hey, gotta take this guy, gotta take this quarterback, I need a quarterback, gotta take him. You know, Cam Newton. You know, when you talk about a number one pick, you're talking about you cannot miss on a number one pick. You really can't miss on a first-round pick. be honest with you, but especially a number one, the number one pick in the draft. Carolina, to me, has no real history as far as developing quarterbacks. Cam Newton needs to sit down for about 2 to 3 years. He really does. He needs to sit down for about two to three years, a minimum 2 years, so he can polish his skill set, get acclimated to a pro-style offense. But that's not what you and I know is not going to happen. Would it be a shock if Cam Newton is not starting in week one? At worst, he's going to be starting before October, before Halloween, easily. And, you know, when you pick a guy at number one, it has to be, but you can't be using the words feast or famine or big risk. Those are the words that should be ever associated with the number one pick in the draft. So, you know, we'll see what happens. Again, I know Carolina has a new regime as far as coaching is concerned. I would not have picked Cam Newton to be as my number one pick. I would have built from the inside out. I would have went on the offensive line, defensive line, what have you, or addressed other needs. I know Carolina's a big offensive line. I would have went defensive line. So we'll see. And there are plenty of defensive linemen to choose from. We'll see what happens with it, how fast he's starting. Some of the other reaches, I mean, there were some peculiar moves in this draft so far. Some of the other reaches at quarterback, you had, of course, Jake Locker going at number 9 for Tennessee. Now, Jake Locker was a one-man game, okay, at Washington. It was Jake Locker and everybody else on that particular team. It was a bad team. They had a good year. They started out slow, beat Nebraska in a bowl game. They played well. He was it. But Jake Locker in college, completed 55% of his passes. The one thing that I've always heard, and I'm not going to make myself out to be a quarterback analyst, but one constant thing that I've heard when people are discussing, how you can improve a quarterback's skill set, things that they can work on, things that are not teachable, that are teachable, is that you can't teach accuracy. That's the one thing I've always heard for the last 5 to 10 years. You cannot teach accuracy. So if he's 55% in college, what is he going to be when he has, 6'5", 320-pound defensive ends chasing him? Or what is he going to be when a team realizes that he is more accurate outside the pocket and keeps him in the pocket and he has to make decisions from within the pocket? Again, he's a 4-year starter, great leader. They say he's a great guy off the field, but he's not the number 9 pick in the draft. And he's not somebody that you could build your franchise on, right away. Tennessee, you're basically giving him the keys to the car. Then you had 12. You had at number 10, Jacksonville going Blaine Gabbert, which I was happy. As a Redskins fan, I was doing backflips and cartwheels that they traded down and said it didn't take Blaine Gabbert. Blaine Gabbert goes to Jacksonville. Jacksonville just signed David Garrard a couple of years ago to a multi-year deal. He still has 3 years remaining on his contract. And from what I saw at Jacksonville last year, Garrard was not the problem, especially towards the end of the season. Their problem was on defense. Christian Ponder goes number 12, Minnesota. Again, I'm a Florida State fan. I watched Christian Ponder his whole entire career. Mike, pretty good player, okay, doesn't have a strong arm. Again, played 4 years, but none of these guys are first-round quarterbacks. I can make a case that the guys who were drafted in the second or third round the quarterbacks who were drafted in the second or third round will have better careers than the guys who were drafted in the first round. Whether it's Andy Dalton, Ryan Mallett, the Colin Kaepernick, the 49ers guy, again, some peculiar moves in this draft. You know, Atlanta trades DeFarm. They trade DeFarm to get Julio Jones, who has never stepped on an NFL field in his life, for a rookie. You give up a second round pick, next year's first round pick, and a fourth round pick this year for a rookie. Not for Randy Moss in his prime, not for Marvin Harrison in his prime, for Julio Jones. You understand? I've watched a lot of Alabama football. Julio Jones was probably the most physically gifted receiver in this draft, without question. But is he worth a number one pick for 2012? Because the last time I watched the Atlanta Falcons play, it was their defense that was getting lit up by Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. I don't think Julio Jones could have stopped, Greg Jennings from, you know, running past Atlanta's secondary. New England, again, does what New England does. That is accumulate picks. They make a trade with New Orleans and go from and get another first round pick for 2012. So now, for the umpteenth straight year, they're going to have two first round picks and two second round picks. What's new? As far as my beloved Redskins goes, and I don't know when the last time I used that term, beloved Redskins, in the same sentence, but if you're a Redskins fan, you have to be happy at what you saw, at what you've seen so far. Coming into this draft, the Redskins had 8 picks, okay? They had 8 picks. They didn't have a first round. They didn't have a third round pick, nor did they have a fourth round pick. They're going to have a pick now in every round of the draft. They go out there. They address a need in terms of their defensive line with Kerrigan and Jarvis Jenkins. You know, they fit, who both fit into their 3-4 system that they're running, right? 3-4 scheme that they're going to run with Haslett. And they go out there in the third round and draft Leonard Hankerson from Miami, a guy with a lot of physical talent, big receiver, still a little bit unpolished, but still. This is when you want to take a chance on the receiver, okay, in the second or third round. Receivers drafted in the first round normally do not have a high success rate. They don't. And now they have a situation where they have, you know, they'll have a fourth round pick today, and they'll have 4 fifth round picks. Now, I could care less, frankly, about the 6 and 7 round picks, because I don't know how you're going to get quality in the 6 and 7 round. Maybe you can get lucky, but to me, it's, you know, having the four fifth round picks and the 1 fourth round picks, they should be able to add depth to their team and even address some more needs. 6 or 7 of these players that they draft this year should be able to, in some way or form, contribute to their team this year and in the foreseeable future. Just the fact that the Redskins have a pick in every round of the draft is saying a lot. I mean, there have been years where, as a Redskins fan, that, you know, after the first round, I could just not even watch the rest of the draft. They don't have any picks. They don't have no picks. Why watch rounds 2 through 7 when they don't have any picks after round 2? Or not even having a pick in the second round some years. So good job by the Redskins. We'll see what direction they go in this year. Ryan Mallett, I was shocked how far he fell. I knew that he was going to fall maybe out of top 10, out of top 15. But geez, he falls all the way to the middle of the third round, and lo and behold, who lands him? The New England Patriots. Go figure that. I mean, that's just, you know, typical. The rich get richer as far as I'm concerned. Still to come, we'll get into some baseball. We'll also preview the second round of the NBA playoffs, which will feature probably one of the most highly contested and most anticipated conference semifinals in recent memory. We'll talk about that. Are You Kidding Me? And React Quotes as well. That's still to come on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. 12 o'clock on the dot, we shall return. One minute after the 12 o'clock hour on this latest edition of Saturday Morning Wake Up Call, Cyril Quinn taking you to 12:30 on this 30th of April, last day of April 2011. The NFL Draft Rounds 4 is about to kick off. It's about to get started here, so you'll have, you know, listen, you can get some good players in Rounds 4, I feel, in Round 4 and 5. You have to get, obviously, you have to get lucky in 6 and 7, but fourth round, you should be able to get some quality players that can contribute to your team. Maybe not right now, but certainly down the road if those players are developed correctly by your franchise. And of course, NBA this weekend, we're gonna, you know, the preliminaries are over. Now, you know, we've gotten all the teams that had no chance to win a championship. We got those guys, got those teams out the way, you know. And come Sunday afternoon, 3:30, you're gonna have the most probably anticipated series of these 2011 playoffs to date by far, and maybe depending on the matchups, depending on who plays from here on out, maybe of these entire playoffs, unless, you know, Miami and Lakers play the finals. But you have Boston and Miami playing, two teams that hate each other, two teams that, you know, kicked off the season with Boston beating Miami in that opening game back in, of course, late October. And listen, down the stretch, Boston looked very suspect. You know, you're thinking, you know, they're too old. Where's Rondo? No Kendrick Perkins. Maybe Miami's putting it all together. Maybe they're peaking. Maybe they've somewhat figured it out, whatever that means. But as of right now, you're asking me to make a pick. You're asking me who do I trust. And it's the Boston Celtics. I mean, the Boston Celtics, you know, listen, they sweep the New York Knicks, which you can't go too crazy on based on the Knicks situation. But the bottom line is somewhere along that, you know, somewhere in between game one and game two, Rondo found himself and has been great ever since. And, you know, Boston, Miami has no answer for Rajon Rondo. That's the bottom line. They have no answer for him. Miami, to me, watching them against the Sixers, they were not that impressive. Give the Sixers credit as well, as, you know, they fought two for now in that series and made it a much closer series than it probably ever should have been. But Miami, you know, walks around with this air of, you know, cockiness, like they've won 10 championships. So, again, I like Boston in a tough six-game series. What does Shaq play tonight? Yeah, Shaq is finished. You know, why even keep having these updates where he may play game two, game three? Shaq is done. I mean, Shaq's finished. But they only need Shaq. When they need him against, you know, say the Lakers or say Chicago, yes. But now, push them to shove, I have to take my Boston. Their experience, the matchup, but it should be a very entertaining series, again, considering that both teams absolutely hate each other. Of course, you have Oklahoma City tomorrow to complete that doubleheader. You have Oklahoma City and Memphis. you know, from a television rating standpoint, is an absolute disaster for ABC, ESPN, and TNT. I mean, you couldn't have two worse franchises play from a rating standpoint. I would love to see the numbers on those games from a rating standpoint. Memphis, Oklahoma City, but from a basketball standpoint, it should be a very entertaining series. I like Oklahoma City in seven, but I'm telling you, this Memphis team has grew on me. They can present some problems for Memphis. I mean, for Oklahoma City, there's no question about that. But at the end of the day, I do think that Oklahoma City's sides, in terms of being able to combat Memphis' sides with Ibaka and Kendrick Perkins, would be just enough. And their bench with, like, James Harden coming off the bench would be just enough to get by Memphis. Should be a very good series, though. Very good series. I'm not even going to discuss the Atlanta and Chicago series. They shouldn't even play that series. I mean, they really should. You know, Atlanta has no chance against Chicago. Derrick Rose will have a field day. Atlanta should be happy just to be in the second round. They have zero chance in that series. Dallas Lakers should be a pretty good series. I know Dallas claims that they wanted the Lakers, but in reality, Lakers are still just too big for Dallas. Andrew Bynum if Andrew Bynum is playing like he's playing right now, then Lakers cannot lose to anybody. I mean, that's the bottom line. Andrew Bynum has been playing great. You know, it seems like he's back from that little scare he had with the knee. Kobe Bryant will be helped by this little rest that they have. They'll have 3 days off, and now you know you can see the Lakers kind of rounding into form. And they made the New Orleans series a lot harder than it had to be, but as the series went along, they got stronger. And I think the Lakers win that in six. I don't think it'll be easy. You know, a couple of people I saw pick the series in five. I give Dallas more respect than that, but I don't think Dallas can mentally stand up to the Lakers, to be honest with you. Even though I was impressed with Dallas during the Portland series, they basically had the one bad moment when they blew the 23-point lead in game four. But other than that, they played a very good series against Portland. But again, this is a whole different ball game as they go and take on the Lakers in round in the conference semifinals. So Boston, you know, Boston, Miami, Lakers, Dallas should be a great round of games in the NBA as we head towards the NBA Finals, NBA Conference Finals, and NBA Finals coming into May. 347-215-6180 is your call number. 347-215-6180 is your call number. When we return, we'll get into a little baseball, and we still have Are You Kidding Me as well on this latest edition of Do your Saturday morning wake-up call. Welcome back to this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake-Up Call, 10 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Get some baseball action. Late night scores. You had the Dodgers taking out San Diego, edging San Diego 3-2. Andre Ethier was able to extend his streak to 25 games now. You had Cleveland over Detroit, 9-5. But the Cleveland Indians, Carlos Santana, had a walk-off game-winning grand slam. Cleveland improved to a Major League best 17-8. They're tied with the best record in baseball, along with the Philadelphia Phillies. Philadelphia Phillies pounded the New York Mets 10-3. Ryan Howard, big game, big day night for him, had a grand slam. Angels over Tampa Bay 8-5. Florida edges out Cincinnati 7-6. Boston falls to Seattle 5-4. Toronto over New York 5-3. So there's some of the scores in the in Major League Baseball. Looking at this division, the AL Central, I'm very curious because right now, and again, it's still relatively early, but right now Cleveland is on top of the division at 17-8. Kansas City's 13-13. Detroit's 12-14. Chicago White Sox 10-17. And Minnesota is 9-16. Those bottom three teams, Detroit, Chicago, Minnesota, all with payrolls over $100 million. Okay. Cleveland, which I thought would be a surprise team, but not this big of a surprise. I'm thinking surprise team as they will fight for basically for third place. But Cleveland's not going anywhere. They are not going anywhere. Cleveland, you know, their pitching has been very good. Obviously, they are a very pesky team. They have Sizemore back. Now, I know Hafner is nicked up a little bit. I don't know if it's that serious. He's been great. You know, Azubo Cabrera, you know, Sinchon Chu, Santana, they have some good – they have a very good team. And we've talked about this before. Their bullpen is a legit top five bullpen in all of baseball, not in the American League, in all of baseball. So they're not – they're going to be there for the long haul. Outside of that, I don't know what to tell you about this division because, you know, Minnesota with the whole Mauer Moreau thing, I don't know about those two guys, and their starting pitching has been very suspect. The closing situation with Nathan basically taking himself out of the closing situation because of his struggles. You know, the White Sox bullpen is awful. Detroit, with their pitching, the rest of it, you just don't – like, Cleveland could win – Cleveland's going to win this division unless they have a rash of injuries. Cleveland probably will win this division by default because the rest of the division just frankly stinks. I mean, can you really count? And we know Kansas City. We know Kansas City is not going to be in it for the long haul. I mean, look at Cleveland has a 5-game lead in a loss column, and it's not. And we're just getting into May. Every 5-game lead over, again, in the loss column against Kansas City. 4.5 overall, but in terms of the loss column, 5. Already. So, you know, that division has just been turned upside down, inside out, basically. So we certainly will keep our eyes on that division. When we return, we'll come back with "Are You Kidding Me?" and we'll talk some "Are You Kidding Me?" and some React quotes as well. That's coming up on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. Welcome back to this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. Surreal Quinn taking you for the next till 12:30, 15 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Here we go with React Quotes of the Week. It's been fun, New Orleans. That, of course, comes from former Kardashian, former Kim Kardashian, Reggie Bush, a former boyfriend of Kim Kardashian, I should say, Reggie Bush. Bush, of course, said that following the drafting of one Mark Ingram by the New Orleans Saints. And, you know, if you're Reggie Bush, you have to be realistic about what you're worth. Now, Reggie Bush is scheduled to receive $8 million this year. And he's certainly not going to get that from the Saints. And to be honest with you, based on his skill set and what he brings to the table, he's not going to get that from any other of the 31 teams in the NFL. Reggie Bush is he's a specialist. He's a guy that can get you a punt return for a touchdown. He's a guy who's a great receiver as a running back, one of the best pass catching running backs in football. And he's a guy who's deadly in open in space. But he's not a guy who's going to get you tough yardage or, frankly, a guy who has a nose for the end zone. So, to me, it would make more sense for Reggie Bush to stay in New Orleans with the offense that you're comfortable with a team that knows how to use you rather than going to another team just for the money. And you're basically getting lost within their offense, or going to a team where nobody's basically gonna know who you are. Because again, nobody's overpaying to get Reggie Bush. I guarantee you, nobody's overpaying to sign Reggie Bush. The book is out on Reggie Bush. So I think that though it may look like he could be headed out the door, I think there's a strong chance that he comes back as a New Orleans Saint. In 2011. It's a good win, but they're all good. We're trying to get 100. We're a step closer. Oh, boy. That's Daniel Murphy of the New York Mets. The Mets have played better. Mets had a string earlier this week that was snapped, of course, where they had won 6 straight games. And that was Daniel Murphy clearly excited after the win. Daniel, slow down. Let's take it easy. You know, you guys playing better. They're playing better baseball, but let's 100 wins. Let's get to 500 before we talk about getting 100. Let's leave it. You know, let's crawl before we walk. You know, a week and a half, about eight days ago, you looked like the worst team in baseball. Now you're going to win 100 games. Slow down, my friend. Just slow down. Here we go with Are You Kidding Me? Peyton Hillis has been tabbed as the cover boy of Madden 2012.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I don't know, I'm just trying to think of the rationalization of putting this guy on the cover of Madden. You got to go back, Madden's been around for about 23 years now. This probably has to be, he has to be probably the most obscure cover boy in Madden history. You can't put that, how do you put Peyton? I blame the fans. How do you put Peyton Hillis on the cover of Madden? He had a very good season. You know, 1,100 yards rushing, played well, made the Pro Bowl. But, you know, the guys who you put on Madden are superstars. You don't put Peyton Hillis on Madden. You know, you put Ray Lewis on Madden. You put Randy Moss back in his heyday on the Madden. Put Aaron Rodgers on the Madden. You put Peyton Hillis. I got it. Hold on.
Are you kidding me?
I don't get it. I mean, he's just become that. He's become a cult figure. He's become, you know, that dude, so to speak. Tim Tebow is just just popular. And at least he's better than Tim Tebow as a running back in terms of his production. But still, I mean, his bark is bigger than his bite. Put to you that way, as far as his skill set, his popularity exceeds his skill. There's no way this guy should be on the cover of Madden. I mean, it's just insane. I don't know how you put him on the cover of the most popular game in video game sports, in video game sports history. Pitching coach Roger McDowell has apologized for making comments and crude sexual gestures towards a fan in San Francisco last weekend. Yes, pitching coach making comments and sexual gestures towards a fan.
Are you kidding me?
What are you doing talking to a fan or saying anything to a fan during the course of the game as a pitching coach? Now, I know fans can heckle superstars and heckle players. I don't know too many fans out there that who heckle pitching coaches and managers and third base coaches. I've been to a ball. I've been to a couple ballparks, a couple of baseball games. In my lifetime, I've never seen that. I've never even heard of that. I don't know what exactly happened, how this exactly got started, but if you're Roger McDowell, you just have to, have to put those imaginary earplugs in and just tune it out. Even if a fan says something about your mother, I don't care. I mean, you can't talk to a fan as a pitching coach. Argue with a fan. I've never heard of anything like this ever. And then apparently the guy who he's arguing with, had his wife and twin daughters with him. So this was a strange and unusual situation to hear, to read about. But again, you're a pitching coach. Worry about Tommy Hansen's curveball. I mean, you should be worried about a fan, a heckler in the stands. Please. Still to come on this next edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. We'll set up next week's programming. And much, much more on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. We'll be right back.
Before it's done,
hey. Welcome back to this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call as we head towards the final segment of the program. 347-215-6180 is your call number. 347-215-6180 is your call number. We're going to do a show I would say on Monday, Cyril Quinn review. You know, we'll talk about the draft. We'll talk about, you know, NBA action. Also have some entertainment news and notes as well. So we'll do that on Monday. The time I have not figured out yet. I would say probably between 7:30 and 8:00. But again, stay tuned. You know, on to Facebook and also Blog Talk Radio. Stay tuned. For, you know, be on the lookout for that as well. You have a lot to watch, a lot to follow this weekend. You still have the draft going on. Have the, of course, NBA playoffs tonight. No games in the NBA, but NHL. You have Nashville and Vancouver. Vancouver leads that series one game to nothing. And of course, Philadelphia and Boston will battle it out today at 3:00. Should be a great series. We'll be surprised if it didn't go at least 6 games, maybe even 7. That's going to be a tremendous series. So you have a lot to do. A lot to watch. Again, we began the program talking about the Spurs, end of an era, and it is indeed the end of an era for the San Antonio Spurs, and they went down to the Memphis Grizzlies, 99-91. You know, went down hard, didn't go down, did not go down easy to the to a team that was just younger, more athletic, bigger, and you know, it really. You know, watching the Spurs in this series really, to me, says that Greg Popovich should probably be Coach of the Year. Because there's no way that that team, currently constructed, should have been a 61-win team in the Western Conference. There's no way. I mean, that team is a 50-win team at best, considering how old they are at certain spots, and considering the lack, just lack of experience that they have. And lack of size that they have. So that, I mean, if I had a vote for Coach of the Year, I think I had to give it to Popovich. Now again, you know, Tom Thibodeau did a tremendous job. Carlisle did a great job considering some of the injuries he had to deal with. You know, he had, of course, George Karl with everything he had to deal with, Carmelo Anthony. Trade, basically reinventing the Denver Nuggets on the fly, but the job that Popovich did with that team, now that you sit back and look at it, it was a remarkable job. And again, give Memphis a lot of credit. Memphis really played well. They really were one of the best 3 or 4 teams in basketball, you know, post All-Star break. They really were. So, you know, Memphis will be a tough out for Oklahoma City. That will not be an easy series, especially, you know, Oklahoma City better get this thing, you know, situated with Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook came out there, you know, a couple of games ago against Denver, took 30 shots in the game, 12 or 30, scored 30 points, but took 30 shots. Then he was pouting basically in game, you know, in the following game, the next game, where he didn't play as well, again, game 5. So they better get Westbrook in order. I don't think it'll be an issue now throughout the course of the playoffs, but maybe in the future, you know, we could be looking at Stephon Marbury, Kevin Garnett situation with Russell Westbrook as my live audience. So long to my live audience. If you want to continue to listen to the rest of the programs, go to, of course, blog. You can go online to blogtalkradio.com/TheRealQuinn and listen to the rest of the program as the program is still streaming but not live on air. But they better get this Russell Westbrook situation situated. Those two guys can have a chance to win multiple championships together. But Westbrook has to know his role and has to know that he is the number 2 guy. He's not the number 1 guy. It's not 1 versus 1A. It's number 1. You're number 2. You're going to get shots. You're going to get anywhere from, you know, 15 to 20 shots a game. So, you know, we'll see what transpires with that. To me, that's a problem for down the road. I don't think it's an immediate problem for the Oklahoma City's future prospects in terms of these playoffs, but something to think about if you're a Oklahoma City fan in the future. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. Again, we will have the Cyril Quinn review coming up on Monday. Be on the lookout for that particular time. I've enjoyed to Georgie for this last hour or so. Again, have a great weekend and enjoy the draft. Enjoy the games. So long.